It's Bucky and Aaron.
People that say, you only do 4 hours of radio, you need to understand, the minute I get up in the morning is when work starts. When I get up at 4 o'clock, that's when the clock starts here. You know what I'm saying? So I don't do just 4 hours. I know what they're thinking. They're saying, well, that son of a gun will be done at 10 o'clock in the morning. What's he going to do? Go play golf? Go to a movie? But they don't understand what time we get up. We get up at 4, and the clock starts. BK, do you count it when you get in here and sit on your ass, or do you count it when you brush your teeth as going to work? That's what I count. I've always counted it that way. Sorry, I'm going to play golf today, too. Sorry.
Hey, it is going to be 65 and sunny, by all means, my friend. A little working mail, a little rush on a Wednesday. All right, coming up in our coach's corner, the team that scares the heck out of me that might swing this Antonio Brown deal that I'm hearing rumblings of. Now the man in Machado's off the board. Where is Bryce Harper going? We'll get you the list of three teams that may be willing to match his $300 million price tag. Also, the Longhorn baseball team with a big win last night. A lot of hoops talk as well. But the B&E stat of the day and fact of the day, Buck, to pay that off, Manny Machado gets the new contract. You know, people talk about what his value is. He's 26. He's a premium player at a premium position, shortstop, if you want him to. He can also play third and locks up that position for the Friars for a long time. You know, one of the stats and analytics people look at is ball speed off the bat, like meaning you hit the hell out of it. Solid contact, because, you know, sometimes hits are just little bloopers, but guys who consistently square it up and drive the baseball, those are guys that typically have a high OPS, which is on-base percentage and slugging. I mean, those guys drive the baseball into the gaps. They drive it out of the ballpark when they consistently hit the ball hard. Manny Machado batted balls of 95 miles an hour or more off the bat over the last two seasons, 507. No other player in baseball has more than 440, so he's consistently striking the ball and driving it to all fields, and that's one of the things the Friars liked about him. He does bring a little bit of baggage. Of course, last year was a soap opera with the Orioles to the Dodgers and then in the playoffs, but Machado is, you know, he's a premium young player.
It costs more than their stadium cost. That's a lot of coin, man.
Look, I'm not surprised he got the $30 million a year, because we had told you for a while now the Padres had put $30 million a year on the table, but it was an 8-year, 240 contract, which, you know, all the, you know, the difference is 2 years, $30 million a year. That's $60 million more that they were which they were willing to go to. They were trying to hold it back at 8. He demanded 10, and his agent played it well. White Sox versus Padres, and ended up with the deal.
He didn't want to be on the South Side.
He did not. Clearly,
he just didn't want anything to do with
it. It does
that
feel like that his agent, you know, used the White Sox to drive the price up, but it didn't seem like Manny Machado wanted
San Diego.
To play. Yeah.
That part of Chicago, San Diego, that part of Chicago.
But I will say
I'll
this.
Pass.
I've been to San Diego. It's a great town, but Chicago in the summertime, it's hard to beat.
That part of town?
It doesn't matter. You just got to.
It does matter.
You just play in the park down there. You don't have to live there. You can go 5 miles north and live downtown, which is one of the great, right there on the lakefront. It's one of the great places to live in the world in the summertime.
Coming out of the stadium at San Diego, coming out of the stadium in Chicago.
Chicago in the summertime. You don't have to live there in the winter. No one says you have to live there in the wintertime.
Well, not with $300 million, you don't have to.
Yeah, you can we go wherever you want. But obviously, that was not the fit. And we'll see where Bryce Harper may be going coming up. This on the text line on our conversation about Major Applewhite, who's found a job, that says U of H should be in the Big 12 if Texas and OU weren't so scared.
We don't want you. We don't really need that part of the
Scourge.
State.
Here we go.
We don't need that part of the state.
That's maybe a conversation for a different day, but if Dana Holgorsen doesn't work out, could you not see Tillman Fertitta?
Art Briles. Yeah.
He's the type of guy. That guy cares so much about winning. Like, he doesn't care.
Oh,
about
he'll do anything.
Stuff.
He'll shoot steroids into high school players, and or at least allow that to happen.
Just go back to him and say, let's do it again. I would say, by that time, in 2 years, it probably would.
He's going to give Dane Holger more than 2 years.
And that seems like a fair.
I know what he just did to Major, but Dana Holger, look, I mean, Tillman Fertitta's buffing his chest out because he just lured a Power 5 coach to Houston that's not a Power 5 team. But Holgorsen wanted out of West Virginia and Morgantown. That seems obvious. And I don't wonder if Bob Huggins wants out of West Virginia at some point. His basketball team's in last place. They're pretty bad. And he has, you know, let that thing disintegrate. But it's college basketball. You can go up and down year to year in that sport as quickly as any. Heck, we saw Lon Kruger did it at Oklahoma, right? They were in the Final Four, and then they were last place the next year when they lose
right.
Some of their best guys. That's the way that college basketball works. I think Dana Holgorsen gets more than 2 years
to figure some things out at Houston, but we'll see.
I know this. He better win. He better have
10 wins.
I was going to say.
He better be 14-1, or he's gone.
Gone.
That's what they expect down there.
See ya. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question about Duke, North Carolina in a moment. Also, we'll get into our coach's corner. First, let's get you the news. Headlines and what's trending from the Ticket City Update Desk, brought to you by UBO Business Service Services. Start with that Texas baseball squad. Broke out the bats last night at Reckling Park in Houston, banged their way to an 11-4 win at Rice. They earned the win and their first midweek win of the season. 3-1 now to start the year. 2-5 hitters for Texas in the lineup. Eric Kennedy, Austin Todd, Zach Zubia, DJ Petrinsky. Combined 8-for-8 hits and 9 RBI. Horns banged out 13 on the night, 6 for extra bases, including Zubia's first home run of the season. David Pierce pleased to battle through some tough weather conditions and get a nice win.
You know, you're right. We're putting some at-bats together, back-to-back, and guys having quality at-bats, and just a very good night for us in a wet, nasty condition, but we got the win.
They did get the win. They'll come home, open up their home schedule. 4 games with Purdue this weekend, starting Friday at 6:30 with game 1. Teams will play a doubleheader on Saturday, and then a game on Sunday at 12:30. Major League Baseball bombshell yesterday, as we've talked about, 26-year-old Manny Machado agrees to the biggest free agent contract in American sports history. 10 years, $300 million for the suddenly upstart San Diego Padres. The 4-time All-Star, 2-time Gold Glove Award winner. Says it will become the face of the Friars organization that's in the middle of a rebuild. Their GM, A.J. Preller, has assembled the game's best farm system. Pretty good young lineup. And now Machado on board. College football news, according to AL.com, Major Applewhite will join Nick Saban. And that football staff is an analyst on the offensive side. 40-year-old was Nick Saban's first offensive coordinator at Alabama in 07. Left for Texas after the one season. He was fired in December after just 2 seasons at Houston. Upset in the Big 12 last night. How about Baylor? Jared Butler scored 17 points. The Bears upset 19th-ranked Iowa State in Ames, 73-69. No games on the schedule in the Big 12 tonight. There is a considerable tilt on Tobacco Road, 8th-ranked North Carolina. Taking that 11.2-mile trip east to Durham to face top-ranked Duke. Tickets for the game tonight, $2,500 at the low end. Single ticket for tonight's game going for as much as $10,000 online. Everybody wants to see Zion Williamson and the star-studded Duke lineup against Carolina. Texas Stars opened a 4-game road trip last night with a 2-1 overtime win at Iowa. And that's the news.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Buck, you are you're calling Duke blowout tonight. The line is 9.
I think it's going to be a blowout. They know something's going on there.
You good at laying the 9 points?
Yes, I'm fine.
In the
Cameron,
rivalry
yes.
game?
Put some yes. units on it, please.
How many units are you? How confident are you on -9 for the Dukies?
One of the big plays of the night. I'll just say that, yes.
Ooh, so this is 10 or more, obviously, for you.
And then they'll have a close digits. Game. Then they'll go to Chapel Hill, and then I'll have a real tight game that Duke will win that game.
This
one gets out of hand, I believe. This is one that Zion puts his stamp on. Now, he's stamped a lot of games so far this year, but I think this is the one. He really he puts a big stamp on this one tonight.
Well, I mean,
and it's not just him. It's the way they're shooting threes. And the way they shoot threes indoors right there is something special.
I like Tennessee. I like Virginia. You like Kentucky. But you're like, man, you got 3 of the top 5 picks in your lineup, including a transcendent player like Zion Williamson, which we'll hear Roy Williams coming up, the longtime coach at Kansas and North Carolina, says he's never seen anything like Zion. We'll let you hear from the Tar Heel boss, and it's going to be a handful tonight in Cameron. Now, what a place to be. Can you imagine bucket list item? I mean, there are very few places you'd rather be than, if you're a sports fan, than tonight at Cameron Indoor. That place is 3,000-4,000 people max. It is an absolute bandbox, and it'll be on fire tonight for this game that you think goes a little lopsided. Before we get into our coach's corner and talk all those topics, plus the team that I'm afraid is going to make the move for Antonio Brown, Buck, tell them about LinkedIn.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. The LinkedIn company is the place to be for sure, especially when it comes to hiring. And you've got to hire the right people if you want to have success. The right hire is the perfect game plan to set your team up for success or set yourself up for success, too. Now, post a job where smart potential team members go each and every day to make the connections, grow in their careers, and discover job opportunities. That's our friends at LinkedIn. Now, most LinkedIn members aren't checking job boards regularly, but 9 out of 10 of those folks, they are so interested in new opportunities. Most of the U.S. workforce right now, they're already on the LinkedIn team. Posting there is the best way to get the momentum in your favor, getting the job opportunity in front of the right folks, and then get the right skills and the background to win and win each and every day. It's no wonder a new hire is made each and every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. Now, you've got the opportunity to do so right now. All you have to go is to LinkedIn.com/Horn. That's LinkedIn.com/Horn. You're going to get $50 off of your first job post, and you can get it done today. LinkedIn.com/Horn. Terms and conditions do apply.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
Sponsored by the Hyatt Regency Lost Pines Resort and Spa, just 23 miles from Austin.
Speaking of coaches, we've told you every Wednesday at 8:30 on the show, we're going to talk to David Pierce, head baseball coach at Texas, except for today. We're going to talk to Coach Pierce tomorrow at 8:30 as they got back to Austin about 5 this morning from Houston. So we'll move that back one day, but I'm sure it's going to be a happy David Pierce tomorrow when we speak with him. His team through 4 games is 3-1, Buck. They're batting .286 as a team and slugging .442 and OPS. And if you don't know, OPS is on-base percentage combined with slugging .840. So this is a team offensively. We talked to Coach last week about all the speed they have in the lineup, but they've got some pop in the middle of it with Zach Zubia and Eric Kennedy and DJ Petrinski. It's going to be fun to watch this team score runs this year. They're already off to a really good start. And they can pitch. They put a freshman on the mound last night from Cyprus. Did a good job. And then I'm really intrigued by this kid, Cole Quintanilla, who's from Cedar Park. Dominated the high school ranks here in Central Texas. Saw him pitch once before. And according to our friend Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com, who was there, the radar gun was picking him up at 96, 97 miles an hour last night at Reckling Park. Cole is a talented kid, big 6'5", 220 freshman.
And the weather wasn't that good.
Oh, I know,
was it?
Right. This is about 50 degrees and rainy. And he's pumping the heat, man. That was fun to see last night. So excited to watch this team grow. Excited to see him in person for the first time this weekend when Purdue comes to town. All right, this says, E, you're nuts. I lived in San Diego for 5 years. We were back for vacation last summer. This morning we left, it was 62 degrees. Didn't get over 83 that day. You're going to tell me Chicago is better than that? Chicago's a great city, but the weather can't compare. I'm not saying, look, you're comparing two of the great cities in America, period, in my opinion. And San Diego has consistent weather year-round. But you also have to live in California and pay California taxes. California, you know what I'm saying?
I know. I don't know. I try to exclude San Diego as being a part of California.
That's true,
I try my
is,
best.
But it is.
I try my best because if I didn't live in this great city, that's the other place I'd like to live would be San Diego.
Well, look, you start making a list. Where would I love to live?
Yeah, San
you
Diego
and I
would
could say
one.
We would love to do our sports radio show where?
San Diego.
San Diego. Chicago would be huge for me.
Hell no, it's too cold there. You have to live there all year round. You can't live there in the summer, Ian, and
sports
then quit
there
doing
are
radio.
Incredible. I mean, if you're talking sports towns.
No.
The passion for sports with the Bears, the Cubs, the White Sox, the Blackhawks.
How would you like to come to Philadelphia and do?
No, thank you. Drag me by my toenails to Philadelphia.
To Philly?
No, with WIP and all those.
How about Boston, WEEI?
By the way, as I mentioned, because it was such a dreary day, my wife was gone last night. I was in bed early. I read the story, which you have to read. Everybody should read it. ESPN.com has the 2-year investigative report on Tim Donaghy and his fixing of basketball games.
I saw some of that.
It's unbelievable. They're going to make a move. You could take that long article, an investigation, and make a movie, period. I mean, it's just about the mob.
Tell me the mob was involved.
Well, essentially. I mean, they were fixing basketball games. And they had an official who they grew up with at their Catholic school who was on the court to help them fix basketball games.
Always the CYO guy.
There was a clip they were hitting 88% of their games. Think about that with your cousin.
What?
88% of the games.
That's almost what I hit last year in football.
Yeah. Come on.
Don't you guys recall that great
game? I don't recall that.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
I don't recall that at all.
Okay.
You're at 90% of the games, man.
Okay.
So
I meant 9%. Maybe I got to carry
it. That is a must read for all sports fans. It'll become a movie or something. Maybe it's like a Netflix series or something. It would be great because the characters are tremendous. Because you got Donaghy, the basketball. It's almost like, hey, we got one of ours behind the curtain. We got one of our guys from South Philly.
Man, I'm sorry to you guys out there. I didn't mean 88%. I just meant 8% of my games. I was hitting.
That sounds more.
BK, can we take that? Mark that tape, and it's just 8%.
You put a lot of people in. You put a lot of people in the poorhouse.
Yeah, this year I'm feeling it.
Well, think
I'm
about
study this summer.
If you read this story, you'll hear of a cast of characters: Jimmy Baba Sheep Batista.
Love that.
Tommy Martino. Jack Concannon, Pete the Rhino.
Wait, whoa! Jack Concannon.
Jack Concannon.
Whoa.
Suburban.
Jack Concannon out of Boston.
No, Philadelphia insurance salesman.
Okay.
Friend of Tim Donaghy.
Please don't tell me he went to BC. Don't look him up.
Pete the Rhino Ruggieri is part of this. You got to read this, man. This thing is long, but it's good, and it's terrifying. And by the way, with the advent of legalized sports gambling in Philadelphia and Jersey, crossing Jersey there.
Crushing it in Jersey.
Making billions of dollars already and all over the country. I mean, sports gambling has to. We got teams now in Vegas. You need every commissioner of every league, including the NCAA, is reading this story and thinking, man, how did we prevent that lone wolf? Because this is what it was. You know, people have speculated about the NBA, but the lone wolf, what can you do? Guy was...
Did that guy go to jail? How long did he go to
jail? He did go to jail. Yeah, he went to jail.
For how long? Like 6 months or something?
Well, look, I read this.
A couple years.
A couple
years he spent in a can?
But how about this? The first line of the show, Jimmy Baba, the Sheep Bautista.
Jimmy Baba Black Sheep.
A stressed out, overweight, oxy-addicted 41-year-old in the hole to some underground gambler for some he'd sort of lost track of. He was the guy running this whole operation with Donaghy. This dude's a total...
Who, Baba?
Baba. Baba Sheep. good stuff, or horrible stuff, but good reading.
They don't even have a Billy No Nuts in there or something from out of Chicago.
It says, I go to Chicago twice a year, by far the worst place I go. It's an armpit.
Of course you're going to get the bad ones.
Where are you staying, man?
Yeah, where are you staying?
Come down to the Gold Coast, where I go. Come down to the Gold Coast, hang out there on the riverfront, or the lakefront.
You're downtown, that's where you
downtown,
stay.
Downtown, bro. That's where Manny, do you think Manny Machado would be in the armpit
no.
area?
No, he's not right outside White Sox Stadium living down the block.
Down
no.
the south side?
No.
No.
He is not.
Down towards Gary, Indiana, he's across
not,
the border?
He's not driving in from Champaign, Urbana, believe me.
All right, we'll see here. Okay, Bryce Harper, next shoe to drop. Three teams apparently involved. Obviously, Machado getting his deal done helped set the market. Bryce will not settle for less than $300 million. Our man Wags yesterday was telling me he's going to get $300. I was arguing with him. I thought the league was going to hold back, or the teams were going to hold back from... Because it's really about number of years on a deal. The teams are trying to cut 7 and 8 year deals. The players and their agents want 10. Manny got 10, so Bryce will get 10. If you read between the lines, the teams he's choosing from, Buck, are Phillies, Giants, and then back to the Nationals.
I don't think he's coming back to the Nationals.
We'll see. Giants are in the mix. Philadelphia is in the mix, for sure. And a lot of people think Philadelphia is the favorite. And I'll also say that the Padres, who signed Manny Machado, they were in on Bryce Harper, too. They were willing to go to 10 years, $300 million with Bryce, too.
So my phone is just lit up with saying, great call, Buck. I'm taking Carolina.
Ooh, nice. I might take Carolina,
too. Since I said
too.
The word Duke, here it goes.
Duke is Duke.
I'm not taking Duke. What, are you kidding me?
All right, Buck. I mentioned earlier that 12 years ago, a 9-year disgruntled Hall of Fame receiver was available. His name was Randy Moss from the Oakland Raiders. 9 years, had put up Hall of Fame numbers. If Randy Moss had retired 12 years ago and never played another down, he'd been a walk-in Hall of Famer. But shrewd Bill Belichick gave up a fourth-round draft pick to acquire Randy Moss. That offseason, he went on to score almost 50 touchdowns in three-plus seasons with the Patriots. Antonio Brown, I guess coincidentally, 9 years in the league, Hall of Fame numbers. He's been the best player in this league, non-quarterback for the last 5 years. Production through the roof, but we know he's a me guy. Here's the team that scares me, Buck. Really scares me, because they have a shrewd general manager, they have a young quarterback, they have a good young team, and it's the Indianapolis Colts.
And they got money.
And they have money to spend. The Colts have 12 draft picks, they've got $80, $90 million in cap space, and they've got Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton. They've got a nice-looking young receiver, running back in Marlon Mack, who they drafted last year. They've got a tremendous young offensive line that's been built. They need to improve their defense. But if you could say I can give up one of these 12 draft picks, or maybe two of them, to get Antonio Brown into the AFC South with Andrew Luck to go with this young rough-and-tumble offensive line we're building, improve our defense through the other draft picks, which they drafted the rookie of the year, Darius Leonard, a linebacker last year. Chris Ballard, their GM, is tremendous. I'm a Texans fan. That prospect scares the heck out of me, that Antonio Brown could land in Indianapolis, which does seem like a team that feels like, hey, we're one more good offseason away. Andrew Luck is back. The shoulder stuff, even though he looked miserable in that cold game in Kansas City in the playoffs, but that scares the heck out of me.
Once again, I think their organization, because they're going to ask Peyton Manning about a lot of things when it comes to Peyton Manning is still a part of that organization deep down, Indianapolis Colts. They're going to ask him, would you have this guy on your football team? He's a great, great wide receiver. You've got a young quarterback that can flip it around. I'm going to say no. They're going to say, we don't need this headache. We'll find ways to win. We're not bringing this guy in. I know we're just a couple players away, but they don't want the headache. I thought you were going to say Bill Belichick, because that would scare me too, but
Well, Belichick, apparently the Patriots would have been interested in if Odell Beckham were available. And here's the thing. I let me correct this because I'm reading this story that the cap hit is not as intensive as I said it earlier with Antonio Brown. It's going to be about $16 million bucks for next season. But then beyond that, there's no guaranteed money 2020, 2021. So it's a one-year, almost $20 million cap hit.
I think he's going to San Francisco, period.
I hope so. I will say that openly. I hope so. But if he were to land, because it is eerie how, you know, 12 years ago it was Randy Moss, and Randy Moss went on to just set the world on fire. I mean, and Antonio Brown's been setting the world on
fire. Yeah, and once again, I said yesterday, I would take Odell Beckham over Antonio Brown. I would take that dude's headache because I think he's got some screws loose. And I can deal with a screw loose guy like Odell Beckham.
Well, you wonder.
But the other guy, that guy is, he destroys stuff when he does things. He's way too much of a me guy. Odell Beckham's just a young goofball. I would take him first. And he's a productive player, is he not?
I personally would take 29-year-old Antonio Brown.
You would?
Over Odell Beckham right now. But it's close. I mean, the production is ridiculous with this guy. You know that, but that I'm just, as a Texans fan, that scares the heck out. Think about this, Buck. Antonio Brown has led the NFL in receiving yards in two of the past five seasons. In the seasons he hasn't, he's racked up 1,800 yards. This guy is uncoverable. And if you watch the Colts play this year, which I did, their offensive line is emerging as like the Cowboys' offensive line did a couple years ago. They're road graders. They're unbelievable up front. Clearly, they did not play well in their playoff game against Kansas City. That was a young team on the road. Their best years are coming. I hope it's San Francisco. I'm going to be scared as hell because Chris Ballard is a shrewd general manager, by the way, out of Baytown, Texas, running that Colts organization. He should be executive of the year for what he did last offseason. He or the guy in Chicago. But I would hate to see that. And they've got the cap space. They've got the draft picks and the ammo to make that happen. And if you have Andrew Luck, you need to put some weapons around him. And if you like Bill Belichick did 12 years ago, if you can give up a fourth-round pick to pick up that talent, I'm talking about buying low, you try. And if he begins to erode your locker room, you got to cut him loose.
You know, BK, you can't – you know, you'd like to mold players and guys into what you want them to be. But a guy like Antonio Brown, I think his interests – can you do – I mean, they're guys who can do both. They can have interests off the field. They can be incredible on the field. They can have other things that they're interested in the business world. I just always imagine, what if that guy was really just a – kind of for his career being a football guy, but he's setting himself up for later on. You know, Dancing with the Stars. He's setting himself up for after football too. That's a part of his gig. You know what I mean? When he says he wants to, it's all about him. He's setting himself way past football. But if he just dedicated himself for a couple years to the game of football, he's already great. How great could he be? But he's not going to do that because that's not the game that he's playing right now.
Antonio Brown?
Yeah,
he's already done Dancing with the Stars.
But I'm just saying
he's already, like, been the best receiver in football. So I think he's dedicated his craft to being great.
Yeah, no, I mean, he worked from a sixth-round draft pick to the best receiver in the game, and this guy said he's no Randy Moss. Well, look at the numbers. He's not Randy Moss in height, but in production, he's out-producing Randy Moss. You know, Randy Moss's best years were in Minnesota when he was opposite Chris Carter and had those prolific offenses. He went to Oakland, and one of the reasons he was traded from the Raiders was he's kind of a mess.
But you get what I'm saying, BK? What if he was the football guy? What if the Dancing with the Stars, all that other stuff, all this Instagram stuff was out of his mind? That's why I said I think he sets himself up for when his football days are over, and that's a part of his game. He's waiting. You know what? 3 years from now, 4 years from now, what if I'm done with football? But I've set myself up with the Instagram people. He's making money on all that stuff. And it's smart. In a way, it's smart what he's doing. But what if he was a dedicated football team guy for a couple more years? How great of a great could he be?
Well, he's already one of the all-time greats. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to say he'd be better, but he's approaching 30, so maybe he'll start to lose a step, so his numbers might not be what they were.
So the game that he plays outside of the game of football is for his life.
Well, I mean, that's going to be a Chris Ballard decision. How does he fit the culture, and how good is your culture in your locker room to handle that? Pittsburgh's clearly got more issues than just Antonio Brown with Mike Tomlin. They've got a bunch
there's
of
no
mess.
Doubt.
You know, the Roethlisberger stuff, the Le'Veon Bell stuff, there's all kinds of issues there.
And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, he goes somewhere and he's not even a problem at all.
Possible. And if he puts up numbers and scores touchdowns at the rate he scores touchdowns, your team is better. And Colts scare the heck out of me. But as someone texted that I tend to agree with, there's no way the Steelers trade him inside the AFC. That's probably true. But if they make the best offer, Steelers got to do what's best. We'll see. But could be the offseason where they lose Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Moving forward, we'll see where they both land. We'll pick it up on the other side. Where does Bryce Harper land now that Manny Machado is a done deal? Also, Texas baseball rolling, and we'll preview the big one tonight on Tobacco Road. What does Roy Williams, the coach at North Carolina, think of Zion Williamson, the one-of-a-kind player from Duke? It's B&E on the horn.
B&E.
B&E with you. Says, I think Bucky is saying if Antonio Brown approached the game like Julio Jones, he would very well go down as the best receiver ever. Julio's a football player through and through, no drama. Well, look, yeah, we've talked about the Julio Joneses, DeAndre Hopkins of the world who just show up and play. And
everybody can't do that, though. You have to, you know, you want that because I coach the game. That's what I'd like to have. But everybody's not like that. Everybody doesn't have that. Everybody that's great doesn't have to have that drive. Some people are just great.
Julio Jones that held out with 3 years left on his contract last
right,
year?
Right. And I think it's, well, that's about money. But I do think it's fair to say that. I mean, it's not to me. It's not fair to say that Antonio Brown doesn't work. I mean, there's no one works harder at his game than that guy. His craft, there's no one better. I mean, the numbers back up what he. Again, remove quarterbacks from the discussion, and it's almost inarguable by number that he's been the best player in this league the last 5 or 6 years. Non-quarterback.
And we're on break. BK said it right. How long has Antonio Brown been a pain in the ass? Odell Beckham has been the guy who's gifted. He's been kind of a pain in the ass way longer than Antonio Brown. But to me, they're two different. I know Buck, what do you mean? It's two different pains in the ass.
Well, and I do think this year at Pittsburgh was a really challenging year where a lot of things came to the head. And obviously, him getting up and walking out of a meeting this year.
Oh, that's not. And someone said, is that destroying team?
Yeah.
Season?
No, the fabric of that team was ripped apart this year. But to me, I'm not saying Antonio Brown wasn't a big factor, but it was just part of it. If you go back to the beginning of the year with Le'Veon Bell holdout and teammates believing Le'Veon Bell to his word was going to show up before the season began and didn't, and then offensive lineman in his own locker room calling the guy out and challenging him, you know, his honesty and whether it's a team guy or not, that doesn't happen. I mean, talk about contracts. I mean, that's crazy.
Antonio Brown not playing in the game that they had to have at the end of the season
because
he didn't go to the meetings. You don't think that destroys the fiber of your team?
No doubt. No doubt. But I think that was bigger than just Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. I think that was a symptom of many issues that they have in their locker room that they have to get cleaned out. And that's why the owner and I think Mike Tomlin have agreed it's time for Antonio to move on. But that again, I'll go back to Randy Moss. I mean, he's the same age Randy Moss was when he moved from the Raiders to the Patriots. He's similar production to what Randy Moss had done. And if you go back to Randy Moss leaving Oakland, it was seen as this guy's damaged goods, this guy's a problem, this guy's a malcontent, because it didn't go well in Oakland, much like the culture had soured in Oakland at the back end of his career there. And here he is in Pittsburgh. This thing soured
in
Pittsburgh.
And as great as both of them were, neither one of them have a Super Bowl ring.
Well, that's correct. And Randy Moss was unbelievable, though, for 3 seasons. Unbelievably productive, and they went 18-0 into a Super Bowl 1 year. The year he's caught 23 touchdown passes.
So the year the Giants beat them and the ball in the helmet.
Yeah, the Velcro catch. David Tyree. Or they would have been a 19-0 Super Bowl championship team. And again, Randy Moss in 3 seasons, once getting in with Tom Brady, you know, 47 touchdowns, 4,000 yards receiving.
Even in the end, he wanted to still be there.
Yeah.
When they were ready to get rid of him.
But guess what? Some of that malcontent stuff kind of cropped up at the end. And Bill Belichick said, not going to happen. And they shipped him out. But so, you know, if you trade for Antonio Brown, keep in mind, you're not going to give up a high-value pick, most likely, because Pittsburgh's admitting he's gone. We're divorcing ourselves. They're going to take the best pick and find the best trade partner. But you know they're trading him, so that diminishes your leverage.
Someone says, "What do you call greatness?" He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean that guy is.
I have
unreal.
No doubts about his ability to play the game at all.
Well, and that's why I say if he gets to the right place with the right culture and the right team, Colts scare the heck out of me. San Francisco has been mentioned. BK mentioned the Green Bay Packers. With Aaron Rodgers looking for weapons and trying to get back to another Super Bowl here late in his career. Kind of like, you know, if we were the Packers, as BK says, that would be like Randy Moss ending up in...
That's scary right there.
In New England. Now, look, Green Bay has a first-year head coach who's never been a head coach, and who knows what their culture is going to be. But Aaron Rodgers sets the tone there, so kind of like Tom Brady does.
Yeah, and
New
if
England.
Antonio Brown comes to the Dallas Cowboys, I think Jason Garrett could handle him. I don't think there would be any problem.
On his final year of his contract?
Hold on, guys.
Hello, guy. I don't.
How
think
would he handle him on the final year
yeah,
of
Mike
his
contract? Mike Tomlin can't handle that, dude. Good luck with Red Jesus trying to
Red Jesus.
Oh, man.
No, I got Cowboys.
On the final year?
Cowboys with Antonio, with Earl Thomas, I think will be the move. But they will add a couple pieces to what they do on the offensive side. But I think Earl Thomas will be a deal that gets done pretty quickly in Dallas. We'll see. We'll see what the price tag is for Earl coming off that injury. That'd be fun to see. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell, Nick Foles. It's going to be a wild free agency run. That starts March 14th, by the way. And the combine, though, 9 days away, all the folks and the who's who will get together. And a lot of those deals could be put together at that moment.
And, guys, so the biggest thing for me for the Dallas Cowboys, if they get their center back, that's like the biggest.
Oh,
I don't care what they draft. I don't care. If he's back in good health, and which I don't know if he can do that, it sounds like he's got a long way still to come. But if he does that in the Dallas Cowboys, it doesn't matter to me who they draft. If that guy is back at center, that's huge. That's the biggest thing that can happen to them.
I mean, he was a first-round draft pick, so it's like getting another first-round draft pick in your – and he's an all-pro center and a key cog. Because when he was out, and then you had injuries at the guard position, mm-hmm. and now you're down to Joe Looney at guard at center, and you know Connor Williams, who was in over his head at guard, your interior line was just getting shoved around again in the National Football League. Frederick getting back would be huge. And look, the syndrome he has, the issue he's dealing with, you know, Mark Schlereth, the you know stink who you see all over TV now, he played with that same condition, was discovered when he was early in his career and went on to play. So. It's not like you can't treat it and deal with it. He didn't know what he had until really the start of the season this year. So really he spent his year trying to figure out what he had and how to treat it, how to deal with it. There is some optimism that he can be back and playing next year, but that is by no means guaranteed for the Dallas Cowboys. It says Randy had to go to Oakland to be humbled before he was any use to Belichick. Brown needs to be humbled. Ship him to San Fran. Interesting.
That's one potential, and you maybe correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe my sports memory isn't great, but I feel like as Randy Moss's career progressed, he went from ultimate me guy to a little bit more of a team guy, and obviously got to New England and had to buy in, but I feel like he was already kind of getting less me, while as it just kind of feels like it's the opposite for Antonio Brown, where it felt like he was a team guy who bought into the Steeler way for so long, and then just later in his career, he's become the guy.
A championship means a lot to football players, that whole Super Bowl gig. And great players, as they get older, they start looking around, just like, I should say basketball players do too. They want a championship. They want to go play for a team that can get them that ring, because that seems to be the ultimate goal for football players. Yeah, making money is a great thing. But great players like Antonio Brown, as good as he is, no ring.
That's
so
right.
I think they start to humble themselves more as they get older, you know, lose a little step. I'm still good enough. I'm still one of the best players as they get older. They got to start saying, I need that ring. Where do I need to go? How do I get that ring? Is he ever going to get that ring in San Fran? I don't know. That's a young team as long as
remember,
Bill Belichick's around.
Well, and San Francisco has to be looked at, a little more in depth. I mean, when Jimmy Garoppolo's been playing, they've been really good. Last when he got there and they went undefeated and got the new contract, and this year got hurt. That's a different team, and it's a young team. And Kyle Shanahan is seen as an emerging. You know, when people talk about Sean McVay as a great young offensive mind, I think Kyle Shanahan's in that same conversation. And his teams are really fundamentally sound on the offensive side. They'll always run the ball well, and the play action. You know, Antonio Brown would make that team mm-hmm. more offensively balanced, and they need to add some
Marquise
defense.
Marquise Goodwin, is he still there?
Yeah, yeah. And Marquise will be in town this weekend, by the way. Marquise will be, the great shoe store out in the Domain kicking it that Earl Thomas is the owner of or part owner of. Marquise is going to be there this weekend for a big event, and our man Cliff Crable and Tailgate Country are going to be out there again at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning if you want to go out and get some autographs and Texas basketball plays at 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, but they'll be out there in the Domain, the Kickin' It store with Marquise Goodwin. But yes, Antonio Brown would be huge. And it does feel like if you listen to Antonio Brown and people closing, that's where he wants to be. San Francisco would be his first choice. If you're Pittsburgh, that makes the most sense because you get him out of your own conference. You're not going to deal with him. He's going to be off on the West Coast. And somebody mentioned they're not going to trade into the Colts, which scares the heck out of me because the Colts. That would be fertile, big time for them. All right, the game tonight, it is Tobacco Road. It's 11.2 miles from Durham, North Carolina to Chapel Hill. Carolina will make the trip east for the game tonight to watch Duke play Carolina, number one versus number eight. And how about this from the ticket brokers? Some tickets, as much as because of Zion Williamson and the intensity of this rivalry, the seating at Cameron Indoor, ridiculous. $2,500 just for a ticket. That's kind of where the low end is. And then up to $10,000 people are paying to see this game tonight. And you've got Duke all in by double digits.
Yes, because Duke is Duke. Duke is Duke. That's all you need
to
know.
Does that count as analysis?
Yes, that does. I just broke it down for you. Duke is Duke.
Duke is Duke.
Especially in Cameron in the first in this rivalry.
Place will be going
crazy
tonight.
Just take Duke.
Hey, BK, you're a basketball junkie. How high on your bucket list would this be to be in the building for this game tonight?
Yeah, I'd kill someone to do it.
don't say that.
For sure.
For sure.
That's an expression. I'd kill someone to do that.
My chainsaw?
I'd kill somebody, yeah.
Would you give up a finger?
Would I give up? Nah, probably not.
He
I'd rather kill somebody else.
He'd rather hurt somebody else.
You don't play the piano or anything? Like your pinky. Maybe like half of your pinky.
That dude would rather take somebody else out than to hurt himself.
Well, that's
he's
selfish.
Not gonna do that.
I mean,
yeah, it
you
got
to give
for
up
sure.
You got to give something up. I mean, would you give up? Well,
give up somebody else's life.
Would you give up two of your four TVs to be at this game for a for 6 weeks? 6 months, I mean. 6 months hardly.
No, he couldn't give up two TVs. That's
I don't know
way...
if I could do that for
do you,
6 hours.
What do you use half of your pinky for on your left hand? You're right-handed. No, you're left-handed. What are you?
I'm a hand model. I don't play that game.
Half of your pinky to be at this game.
No.
No,
does
help.
It grow back?
No, it doesn't grow back. What are you, chameleon? No, it doesn't come back, lizard man.
I'm out, dude.
Oh, you cut the tail off. It'll be back. All right, so you're out. Bucket list game tonight.
My bucket list is still the Masters. Listening.
Is it Masters or Pebble Beach? Which one would you choose?
I like to play Pebble Beach, but I'd like to go to the Masters. My son has been there four times, and I've never been there.
Yeah, your son's doing well. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. If I said you're going to get to go to the tournament for 2 days and then play the course the Monday after the event, would it be Masters or Pebble Beach? Come on. Step it up.
Oh, man, that hurts. I'll take the Masters.
Nice.
I'll take the Masters. Yes.
Thought for sure you'd take the beach.
No, I'll take
the beach
and
Pebble. We'll be back with Hot or Not. BK will lead us through that on this 20th of February. What day is it today? Also, other issues we may have missed. This one says, why is no one signing Dez Bryant? He's better
but
than...
He's done.
He's got an Achilles tear. Remember, he signed with the Saints last year and tore his Achilles. He won't play next year. We'll be back. B&E on the horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
Allstat's beers are carefully made using only four ingredients. Hops, barley, yeast, and artesian spring water. Authentic German beer from the great state of Texas. It's Allstat beer.
Internet's funny. I'll read some of these coming up. I'm reading one of those clickbait deals, Buck.
Yes.
Like hilarious breakups.
Those must be good.
Like
how to dump somebody?
Like notes that are written. I got to read some of these. They're too good. We'll do it next hour. Hot or not, though, BK takes the reins and leads us through the hot or not issues of a Wednesday, the 20th of February. Weather much better yesterday. Yesterday was miserable. Today, 65 and sunny after these clouds break out from this morning. Should be a nice day to get through your Wednesday in the ATX. Plenty to do and converse upon on this 20th of February. BK, what do you have, my friend? By the way, can I mention this? You picked the Dukies by double digits.
Yes, I have.
My handy-dandy supercomputer. That tabulates the scores.
What's a computer?
Out of motion. Has the final score of tonight's Duke-North Carolina matchup. Duke 79.5, North Carolina 80.
What?
79.5, 80. That's how it breaks down by the computer, but the computer's not always right.
What's a computer?
Use it right on winners and losers.
Well, this is an emotional pick for me.
I'll remove emotion from your picks. Good idea. Says, guys, Antonio Brown's going to Arizona. They're going to build around Cliff Kyler Murray, David Johnson. BK, what do you have, my friend?
That'd be absurd right there.
That would be absurd.
Sign me up for it, though.
All right, watch it.
February 20 and 19, it's National Cherry Pie Day. Where does the cherry pie rank amongst the best pies out there?
It does not ring a bell up in here. No thanks.
The song Cherry Pie was a good one.
Yeah.
She's my cherry pie. Did you ever hear that one, BK, back in the day?
Of course.
Cherry pie?
Didn't George Washington, we just had President's Day. Didn't George Washington stick in his thumb and did something with some cherries? No?
at George Washington.
Yeah, what did he do? Oh, he cut down
apple,
a cherry
tree. The cherry tree.
Oh, okay. I thought he did something to an apple pie. You know what I mean? But he, I guess he did. Dude.
That was a movie.
You're reporting something here.
Oh, that was that movie. But those dudes did that stuff to the pie.
George Washington?
He didn't do what I thought he did to the pie. He cut down a cherry tree.
Hey, Cherry Pie, the song, was the 80s hit by this band Warrant.
She is my cherry pie.
Yeah. Well, also in the 80s, you know, the rock band of the 80s was Motley Crue. Motley Crue. I saw Netflix dropped a trailer. You see this, BK? The new Motley Crue movie that's coming out? Telling the backstory of Motley Crue. Their band that was so famous they became infamous. Looks pretty good. I don't know if it'd be horrible or good, but I'm in. Because I was a Motley Crue dude back in the day.
I was not. Anybody?
Well, it was my age. I was like 14, 15, 16 when Motley Crue was pumping out.
Any white dudes
at the
that
devil.
Would put their head down and then throw their hair back? I didn't.
They were a rock'em dude group, man. But I did see the Netflix trailer, Motley Crue.
Check that out. What else you got there, BK Force?
All right, gentlemen. A conversation we're getting into on the midday program today, our power rankings bit. We're ranking our most hated players in the Duke-UNC rivalry. So I will ask you guys, a lot of tradition, a lot of history, the best rivalry in college basketball. I'm not sure there's much debate about that, but there's been some pretty hated dudes on both sides of these. I mean, Duke and Carolina, two of the Blue Bloods, two of the most hated programs if you don't root for either of them. You guys got some names that come to mind on either side for dudes you just love to hate back in the day.
Oh, man, it's going to be on the Duke side, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be, but, you know, you're looking at Christian Laettner is going to be a lot of
everybody hates that dude. Did Bobby Hurley play for them?
I loved Bobby Hurley, though.
I mean, I hated Bobby Hurley.
When I was a kid, when I was rooting for Motley Crue, I would imagine, and listening to Motley Crue, my favorite college basketball player, my first favorite college basketball player.
Was Hurley?
No, after Phi Slamma Jamma down in Houston, when that thing kind of fizzled out, was Johnny Dawkins. Johnny Dawkins at Duke. I loved Johnny.
He was good. I liked
him. But as far as hated players, who's the guy that was tripping everybody? He's moved on,
right? That was last year.
Oh, Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen?
Grayson Allen. That's going to be mine. Anybody that trips people. He just looked like a punk, too. But
I didn't like Hurley.
I loved Hurley.
I liked J.J. Like Red, there's a lot of players I liked on Duke.
Who is on your power rank? Oh, you can't tease that. That's going to be the midday program.
Yeah, I mean that's a award winning program. You can't give up too much to us.
A lot of white dudes, I can tell you that.
What do you mean? Why you got to hate on the white guys?
Everybody hates on the white guys. I don't know. It's Duke.
Yeah, what is that
all
about?
Their players aren't white.
Not all of them. Zion Williamson is not.
Yeah, this year they have. Once they've adapted the one and done bid, that kind of eliminates most white dudes from the.
Hey, Will Baker over at Westlake, he could be a one and dunner.
I hope he's not. I mean,
at Texas,
for his sake, maybe, but I hope he's not.
It says Bucky Little Jack Horner stuck his thumb in and pulled out.
Oh,
a plum.
Okay. Sorry.
Remember
about that.
Little Jack Horner, who was sent to the corner,
stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "Oh, what a bad boy am I," or something like that, right?
Yeah, not George Washington.
Okay, he was a cherry tree chopper. All right, I got it.
Honest Abe.
What was the deal about Abe Lincoln, Honest Abe? What was the deal about him? Would he never lie or something?
He's a big pie guy.
Yeah. I know. What does he have to do with a pie?
I hate that this is a white guy, but I'm going to go ahead and lob Tyler Hansborough on my most hated Duke.
Psycho T will be on my list.
Psycho
sure.
Tyler Hansborough. That guy.
I like that
He played
dude.
Hard, though. He played hard,
I like
though.
Him because he played hard. Coach's son. It would shoot great free throws. Very fundamentally sound.
You just described half the players in this rivalry.
What coach's sons? I did not like Hurley.
Bobby Hurley?
I did not like Bobby Hurley. No.
He loved like the scrappy little point guard.
I was always a Carolina
making things
friend.
Happen. I know. Yeah. Well, you were born in North or grew up in North Carolina.
In Greensboro area. We all Tar Heels.
Well, I'm going to ask you when we come back, who is your favorite all-time North Carolina player? Not hate it because you don't hate anybody that you like. Your favorite all-time North Carolina player. North Carolina Duke tonight, tickets as much as 10 G's. Plus, I'll read some of these internet breakups that are making me giggle. And the top stories of the day coming. Manny Machado breaks the bank. Longhorn baseball bringing out the big bats. It's Beanie on the Horn.